We are live inside the rubber hallway at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank, the rookie premier. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier will meet some of the rookies today. They'll speak to the media inside the press lobby. We'll get to those press conferences coming up, and we'll visit with some of the guys here at the table as well. It's always a fun day, John. The guys are in the building for the first time and get their first real taste of the league.
It is, and of course, rookies have been coming to NFL teams for a long, long time. This is the third year we've been able to do this. And I think it is neat because it's very much a hello, shake your hands day, get a chance to see these guys before they go on the field. But it is a unique thing, or it was unique 3 years ago. Now it's something that I think fans can expect, a chance to see these guys, see them talk to the media a little bit, and maybe get a little better feel for the class that they drafted last weekend.
And it's a quick turnaround, too. They're on the field tomorrow and Saturday for the first time.
Right, and it's a quick turnaround. You know, you think about it, most of these guys had no idea where they were going to be last Friday. So it's very much, I guess, a little bit of a chance for them to get to see, meaning the team, a chance to see how these guys respond to a quick situation. But mainly this weekend's about getting these guys in some shorts, in a helmet, and get them on the field to run around and just start getting them somewhat acclimated with what's going on here. There's not a huge expectation from the coaching staff, personnel people, that they retain a great deal from this weekend. It's an initiation. You want them to start getting an idea for what they want to do. And then you can really start the teaching as they come back.
And you mentioned the helmet and shorts. Well, you have to get that fitted sometime.
And a shirt, too.
Might want to wear
shirt,
that.
Yeah.
A lot of guys might want to wear some of that. But that all gets fitted today here at Everbank Field. They were in the equipment room with Jimmy Luck and the crew earlier today, getting helmets fitted, shoes, everything you would need moving forward started today. So that's where it begins.
And it's always interesting. I was talking to Paul Posluszny at lunch today and just kind of joking about when they come in on this day, they're such wide-eyed kids,
yep,
and they're rookies. And even the most experienced, veteran, ready rookie is still very much a rookie. So it's just neat to see these guys and to realize that in 2 or 3 years they will be veterans. But for today, it truly is a word I've used a lot, the first day of the rest of their lives. And they're looking around trying to figure out where the bathrooms are. You see guys kind of saying, hey, where do I go to get here? Where do I go to get here? So it's neat. As you get older, like me, I'm an old guy now, to see the young guys come in and realize that they're the future and they've got their careers in front of them, and this is really a day that they've dreamed of for a long time, and there is some wide-eyedness, which is neat to see in this day and age.
And they're not alone here. Of course, the veterans are around. It is the off-season
right
program, so there is a little interaction with some of the veterans for the first time, too.
But it's going on now. Like, I asked Paul at lunch today, hey, have you met Fowler yet? No, I'm looking forward to it. You know, so it's very much the veterans see the draft.
Yep.
They know what's going on. Paul said, hey, I'm excited about Dante Fowler. He's a guy who could give us what we need. Haven't met him yet. And there's an anxiousness among the veterans to get to talk to these guys and see what they're like, see what that first impression is. Is this the guy with the maturity level to handle this? How quickly is he going to need to progress? So the players see them on TV, but they don't know these guys. So they're meeting their teammates. They're meeting the guys who are going to be their mentors. And it's just a day for saying hello, but it is the first day.
A few names that we're scheduled to hear from today. We won't hear from the entire draft class, but T.J. Yeldon, A.J. Cann, James Sample, Rashad Green are the four draft picks who are supposed to speak with the media today. All the rest apparently will be available tomorrow, either before or after the workout. Locker room is open both times tomorrow.
And that'll, of course, make the big news tomorrow, Dante Fowler Jr. Whatever the first pick, number three pick, he'll be big tomorrow. But this is a chance to get these local media, a chance to talk to Rashad Green and A.J. Cann. And there's some interesting stories. I don't know how in-depth the stories we'll get today from people.
Right.
It's a chance to get these guys on the podium to ask T.J. Yeldon, hey, what do you think of Jacksonville? And I'll bet most of them say, hey, it's great. You know, I mean, that's what you're going to get today. But it is great. And you do on a day like this, you feel the energy and you feel the excitement level from these young guys. Again, for an old guy like me, you're not old yet, but you're getting there. It's neat to see these guys come in and realize I've achieved this dream, I've worked for it, and now this is sort of transition day between, you know, you go from looking around a little bit to by the end of the night you're thinking, okay, I got to go practice tomorrow. It's time to get real.
Practice, and they did sign some workout players too, well over 20 workout players to have enough bodies on the field this weekend too.
And that's really the big thing. That's a unique situation for these teams because you can't have – there's some first-year guys going to be out there. My understanding is Stephen Morris will be out there tomorrow, who's on the practice squad last year.
There's about 8 or 9 guys that can
be out there. But there's a limit.
There,
right. So all of a sudden, on a year like this where the Jaguars don't sign a lot of undrafted guys, it's 9 this year. Some years that's 17 or 18, 8 rookies. I mean, 8 drafted players, 9 free agents, that's 17. Well, you add up that, guess what, JP? 17 is less than 22.
It's true.
So you've got to have these tryout players, some of which will have a chance to make the roster. I expect there to be a couple of guys signed. There's always a transaction or two at the end of the week. Yeah. Some, however, it's just a case where these guys are on the phone saying, who can we get here? How can we get lined up? Let's get something so we can get some sort of a feel for the rookies and at least give them a remotely NFL look.
Everybody always remembers the story about Mike Brown. And mm-hmm. that's where that started, was a tryout at a rookie minicamp.
It's easy to forget that. He really was a tryout. He was not signed as an undrafted guy. He was here to try out and wound up sticking on this roster, I believe, for 3 years. And I now was in Carolina. So guys do slip through the cracks, and guys do come here and impress. And it's very common. I would say it's even probable that one or two of these tryout guys are signed to the 90-man roster on Sunday. Still a very low percentage chance of them actually making the roster. It's just tough.
John, we appreciate it. I know you're going to get ready for the press conferences coming up, but we'll catch up with you a little bit later.
And I'll yield the floor to Brian Sexton.
There he goes. That's right. Of course, rookie minicamp Friday and Saturday. We'll have live coverage here on Jaguars.com from the camps, but tickets available, free tickets. You can get in. You have to register, though, Jaguars.com/rookie minicamp. It's at 1:10 p.m. Friday and Saturday, goes a little over 2 hours. J.P. Shadrick with Brian Sexton now, senior correspondent. And as John was saying, Brian, it's a fun day. The rookies are kind of wide-eyed, walking around, seeing the place, really the inside of the place for the first time.
Well, it's a day they'll always remember. You know, they've been looking forward since they were selected or signed or asked, as some of the invitation players were, to that moment where they show up here. And it almost feels official, even if they're just a workout player to come in, to see the locker room, to meet the coaches, to go through the process and be treated. Because every one of these guys is treated as if they are a draft choice when they come in here. They're given all of the same advantages. They're given all of the same education. They're given all of the same workouts. And so it's their chance to come in and feel like a pro. And you know as well as I do, most of those invite players are going to someone else's camp next week.
That's right.
Hoping to get an invitation to training camp. So for them, it's a chance to feel like a pro. And for the guys who were drafted, it's their first look at their home.
Well, we finished with John talking about the tryout guys and using the example of Mike Brown that was a tryout player and worked his way up. Do you remember, just on the spot here, in the 20 years, was there anybody else like that in team history?
Well, you know, the tryout thing is pretty new. Okay. You know, it's been the last 5-6 years that they've had guys come in and add to the rookie minicamp numbers to be able to put one on. No, I don't. I remember sitting with that little running back from Ohio last year, the little kid that they drafted. I say little because he was about that tall. He looked up to Maurice Jones-Drew. And he was a great story because he was one of those try-hard guys. But see, that's how it is when you're one of the tryout players. You can't even remember the name because they never really had the name on the back. And so Mike Brown is the best example.
Mike Brown, that's one that stands out. Okay, so guys we're going to hear from today, T.J. Yeldon. It'll be interesting to see his perspective because he's been in an environment in Tuscaloosa where he's had to compete all the time. There's always a couple of running backs around you there. And you had to kind of fight for that playing time. He's good enough, of course, to get a lot of playing time there and play well. But he's not known as a talkative type of guy. Well, what are you going to get out of him today?
Firsthand, I can tell you that he's not a talkative guy.
Right.
I sat with him at the 1st of April when all those players came in. He will answer a question with exactly what you're asking, but he won't elaborate. He's not like you or me where talking is not the problem. Stopping is. You know, getting him started is generally going to be the issue. And I know you talked to someone in Tuscaloosa that says, yeah, he didn't talk. Good luck.
It's just the way it goes.
Right.
But he should know what the competition is all about, and it is wide open in that running back room now.
Well, you know.
Should be.
Right? Well, I think he comes in as the guy. I mean, when you have Dave Caldwell saying that Denard Robinson is going to be used in kick return situations, well, you're not going to see that with your feature back. I mean, I think they think this is their guy. Now, he's going to have to come in and prove that he's the guy and be the guy that they think he is. But I would imagine, you know, Gus is never going to agree with this because he's all about competition all the time. But You know, they drafted him with the idea that he was going to come in and improve their running game. And I said this the other day, I really believe their running game is going to be improved with the big bodies up front also. So I think Denard and Toby would both have a chance to improve the running game this year. You know, they're in this system for, well, again, new system, but they're here. But I think Yeldon comes in as the guy that they want to give the carries to.
Be interesting to see how that goes.
I'll go back to 98 real quick.
Yes.
You know, they had James Stewart, and they drafted Fred Taylor with the 9th pick overall. All right, a little different situation. They wanted Fred to win the job. Fred didn't win the job until James got hurt in week 3 against Baltimore here. 2 plays later, Fred goes 50 yards for a touchdown and never looked back. The only time James got on the field in 99 was when Fred had the hamstring, and then, of course, he left in free agency. So, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men, right? I mean, they intend that Yeldon is going to be their feature back, but he does have to go out and take the job away from Denard and Toby. It's just the expectation is that he's the kind of guy who can do it.
And don't forget Bernard Pierce is around now, too. That's a guy who's been in the league for a little bit also. We go to A.J. Cann now. We're planning on hearing from him today as well.
We just did.
You just walked by,
yeah, walked by
and confirmed that it is A.J. Cann, not Khan. But you want to talk about some competition now. All of a sudden, there's a little bit in that interior.
Well, and they needed to improve that. There just wasn't enough push at the line of scrimmage last year. And Zane Beatles played well the second half of the season and got used to that zone-blocking scheme as opposed to the gap schemes that they used in Denver. But he still wasn't that powerful a force. And proof of that is they went and grabbed Cann, who was not a guy that they thought would be there, but he was such a tremendous value that they had to go and get that. And as I have said over and over and over, you just can't have enough big guys.
That's right,
JP. The big guys, the big guys, the big guys.
Big man's game.
It is
the way it
absolutely
works. Let's go now to the press conference. First player in here on Jaguars.com.
Yeah, I actually wasn't expecting this call to be one with them saying that they're going to draft me. I had about 3 calls before, teams saying that, you know, we like you, we're probably not going to draft you, we're probably going to pick you up as a free agent. So when I picked up the phone, I was automatically thinking, you know, it was going to be one of those calls, and I was a little surprised, but I'm excited to be here and can't wait to make things happen.
At what point in your career, Mom, did you think NFL?
I would say my third season playing, my retro junior year, we had scouts coming in all the time, you know. We had a pretty good player, Tevin Brandon, who's actually on the Broncos right now. He brought in a lot of attention to the school, and which, you know, kind of helped me out and helped me get a little bit of exposure. And I think at that point I realized, you know, I could, you know, this is the thing I could do.
Were there any defensive backs that you went against at that level that ended up, you know, playing in the NFL or that you know of?
There were a couple. I actually don't remember them by name. There was a cornerback 2 years ago out of Liberty who got drafted 5th round. I think there was a cornerback on Coastal Carolina this year who got signed as a free agent. So there was a couple of pretty good, you know, defensive backs out there that I played against.
How have things been like since Saturday, as far as getting drafted to getting here today?
It's been a crazy process, you know. Saturday, you know, I was just trying to enjoy the moment with my family, and I was actually still taking classes in school, so I had to finish up my last couple of finals these past couple of days, and then end up coming down here right after that. You know, I had to wrap up an internship and do all this extra stuff at school, and you know, it's been really busy, but definitely worth it.
Where were you interning?
I was interning with our sports marketing staff at my school. I actually worked with like ESPN3 and did stuff for like games and different events at the school. It was a pretty cool experience.
What's the quick turnaround been like for you to go from school to immediately to, you know, your professional career right away?
I think since I'm really excited for it, you know, it hasn't hit me too bad. You know, I'm really excited to be here. You know, I can't wait to, you know, get on the field and start playing football again. I haven't really actually played football in months now, so I've just, you know, been waiting for this moment, and I'm really excited to be here.
Do you know Miles Austin at all?
Yes, sir. He came to our school, I'll say, 4 or 5 times within my years at Monmouth. I know him sort of a personal basis. He would come work out with us, you know, give us some tips on how to be better players and receivers and different stuff like that. So I know him pretty well.
Is he served as sort of the role model that if he can do it, you can do it?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, him and others from Monmouth, you know, they kind of paved the way for, you know, small school guys like me, especially at Monmouth. I feel like sometimes it might be a little bit harder to come get drafted or, you know, picked up by a team coming from school like that. So I feel like they helped out a lot.
Small school receivers have kind of been successful. Well, there have been a lot of successful small school receivers that have kind of made the transition. Do you think there's that big of a difference between the small school atmosphere and, like, playing for the SEC or the ACC?
I think when it comes to skill positions, you won't find too much of a difference, you know, because I know players that have gone on from D1 AA schools, D2 schools, and, you know, done well in the next level, you know, especially skill position players, you know. I don't really think there's too much of an imbalance between, you know, small school and a big school when we're talking about that.
What are your goals for this weekend?
Just go out and compete, you know. I'm just, like I said, I'm excited to be here. I just want to, you know, get on the field and show everybody what I can do and, you know, play my hardest, play fast, you know, and just compete.
There have been people speculating kind of about your size, whether you could possibly play tight end down the road. Are you comfortable with changing positions potentially down the road, or are you really focused on playing wide receiver?
I would be comfortable, you know, switching positions, especially being able to learn under such a good player as Julius Thomas. You know, I feel like that would be able to help me out. But I just want to do everything I can to help the team out as best as I can. You know, and if the team feels like I should be a tight end and making plays on the inside, you know, then I'll do it.
Did anybody reach out to you from the team after you were picked?
Blake Bortles, he actually texted me Saturday when I was picked up, and, you know, just saying he's excited for me to be here and he's ready to go, and we got to pick up and go running and get after it when we start up.
How much does that mean to you when the starting quarterback?
Yeah, it meant a lot, you know. It just showed me that he's really excited. It just showed me that, you know, he is kind of putting his faith in players like me and other draft picks, you know, and it's just a really exciting time, and hopefully we can just, you know, like I said, get it going and start up, do well.
Do you line up outside, inside, everywhere in college?
Yes, sir.
Where do you feel most comfortable?
Honestly, it depended on what the defense was playing. A lot of times, if we knew a defense was going to double team me on the outside, I was able to, you know, just line up in the slot and get some stuff done there, you know. But it all depends on what the defense was showing us and stuff like that, you know.
Is there an element wow, in the NFL today at all, when you put that way?
I think when I walked in, I felt like that, you know, but I've been here before, you know. I saw the locker room, I saw the facilities, I met all the coaches, you know, and I just feel like I deserve to be here, and it's just another day, and you can't really focus on, you know, getting drafted to be on a team yet, because you haven't really done anything yet, and I feel like I still have to prove myself and go out there and compete every day.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks, Neil.
Neil Sterling, wide receiver from Monmouth, on the press conference day here at Everbank Field. He'll join us on set here shortly, but it'll be interesting to see his use and what they want to maybe move him to a swing type of tight end. I'm sure he'll be comfortable in that type of role, which will be interesting. Neil's going to come on in now and join us on the left side of the set. How are you? We heard ESPN3, so you want to take our jobs. Is that what you're trying to say?
No. I just do a little stuff here and there, you know. Just
but you're comfortable with that in your hand.
I mean, I'm not really on the mic. I'm the behind-the-scenes guy, you know.
Oh, you're like Dave DeCandis back here. Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Watch out, Dave. Your days are numbered.
This is a fun day, though, right? I mean, the first time in the building, the eyes are open a little wider than normal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I'm just really excited to be here, you know, just finally being in this atmosphere and being with the team and being with the coaches, you know, just makes me feel like I should be a part of this, you know, and I'm really excited to get going and finally playing football again. You know, I haven't played football in months now. You know, it's all pro day and combine and stuff like that, you know, and it's just really good to, you know, get on the field and start playing again.
What did Dave and Gus and the coaches that you met with talk with you about when you were here on your visit? What kind of role do they see you having?
They think I could really, you know, make an impact right from the beginning, you know, since they were really harping on having a young team and a lot of players are starting to, like, come together as a whole and, you know, people are starting to fill in their roles. He said, you know, Coach Gus told me I could just hop in and you know, get it going just like the rest of them.
So what are you 6'2" and 7'8" closer to 6'3" or 6'3" and 5'8" closer to 6'4"?
I try to just say 6'4".
Well, here's why I ask. Because there was a comment made last weekend that you were one of those guys at almost 240 pounds with 4.5 speed that could become a Julius Thomas, that could play between, you know, receiver and tight end. Do you see that as being something that's valuable to you? Is that a role that you'd be willing to embrace?
Yes, definitely. You know, any way I can help the team out, I'm going to do it, you know. And like I said, I was talking to the guys over there, you know, Julius Thomas is such a good player, and being able to learn from a player like that would just be
But from Portland State, so it's not like it hasn't been done, right?
Exactly. And, you know, just learning from a player like that would just be an honor, you know, and it would really help me out, I feel like. So, you know, wide receiver, tight end, it wouldn't really matter as long as I could contribute to the team and hopefully, you know, become successful whatever I do.
You went to Monmouth, of course, but, I mean, you grew up in that area. So who did you watch? What was your team coming up and your favorite players and all that stuff? Who did you kind of model yourself after as a youngster?
Well, I like the Jets, you know. I was always a Jets fan growing up. But my favorite receiver of all time was Randy Moss.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Hands down, I'm still going to say he's the best receiver of all time, you know. But, you know, I just grew up watching him and thinking, you know, can I be like that? I want to be like him. So.
Quick thought, James Samples heading in the room.
Okay.
Special teams. Obviously, that's how a seventh-round pick makes it.
Yes, sir.
Can you do it?
Of course. I've been playing special teams for 5 years now, and you know, I like hitting people. I love playing defense. I love playing offense. I love doing all that stuff. You know, just run down the field and make some plays, and I'll be ready to go.
This is a broadcast. You should know that means go in there. Go in there.
We appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Great to see you. Welcome to Jacksonville.
Thank you.
Good to have you. Let's go. James Sample at the podium right now.
A little bit, because what I was hearing around was he's a one-hit wonder, and I don't think that's the case at all, but I'm ready to prove people wrong.
You had like 15 tackles against FSU, 13 in the bowl game. How much do you take pride in coming up big in those big games?
I take pride in that a lot. Like a lot of people say DBs can't tackle, so I take pride in making my presence known early in the game and throughout the game.
James, what's it been like for you in the days since you were picked?
It's been a little crazy. You get a whole lot of new phone calls from cousins you don't know about and stuff. So that's the crazy part. But it's been cool.
Any unusual requests?
Nah, not yet. I haven't. But I got a whole lot of new cousins, though.
Did anybody from the team reach out to you after you were picked? Like any players?
No, not no players. But Peyton Thompson, he's I guess he's cousins with Shaq Thompson, that got drafted to the Panthers. We was good high school friends and played together, so that's one of the guys I'm going to be probably looking up to on the team, talking to, getting familiar with the city and stuff.
How Steve, the Jaguars pointed out that you're allowed to start practicing last year literally 2 days before. How steep was that learning curve? When did you feel comfortable with the defense?
I wouldn't say it was too steep for me because I had the playbook in the spring, so I was able to learn to play, just write it down on my own, and just really get in the playbook. And some of their play calls was similar to UW's, but it was just different verbiage, so it was kind of easy for me to pick it up.
How much stuff did you have to do on your own?
I did a lot of film watching on my own. Like, after practice, I'd be in the film room watching an hour or two of practice, just going over, looking at my mistakes and trying to correct them the next day.
Is there anything that you've looked at for the Jaguars since you were picked, just anything you could find just to get a sense of what you'll be going into here?
Not yet. I haven't got a chance to. When I found out I was going to be competing for the free safety job, that was kind of shocking. But I'm ready. I'm ready for the task.
How much did Todd Rapp help you that year? He has a lot of NFL experience.
Helped me a lot because we ran an NFL pro-style defense, and I feel like he got me ready to come in and compete at the next level.
Why shocking? Do you think you're just going to be coming in as a strong?
Yeah, because that's the way I played at Louisville. We had the traditional free safety and strong safety role, and I guess a lot of people knocked me for not covering like receivers and stuff when it wasn't my job to. I was just a strong safety. Yeah.
How was the constant transitioning from, you know, you started off at one school, went to another school, then moved around a little bit. How has that kind of prepared you for the NFL and the constant changes and pressures of the league?
Just being ready. Just getting ready. Like, leaving UW, I had to get my mind right mentally and physically and stuff. And just going to the JC, where I did not play, I just went to school, just working out, training 2 to 3 times a day, just knowing that you could play at the next level, and then coming into Louisville, competing at my highest level, and just being able to move on to the next level again, and that's to the NFL.
What have you done today since you got into the facility? Who have you talked to?
A whole lot of stuff, physicals, paperwork, and stuff. I haven't really got to sit down with the coaches yet and talk to them yet, but overall, just a lot of paperwork, physicals.
What's kind of the mentality when you get drafted by a team that, you know, hasn't had a ton of success on the field the last few years?
And I'm just happy to be here, you know. It's just, I'm fired up, you know. Some people said I wouldn't get drafted, and for them to take a chance on me, they believe in me, and I'm going to come here and do what I got to do to win the starting job and help out the team, even if it's on special teams.
Did you hear some of that? There was a lot of talk throughout the draft process that it was a weak safety class. Did you pay any attention to kind of what was out there, about what was being said?
You hear it, but I don't pay too much attention to it, because at the end of the day, when you're on the field, it's just you can't worry about what other people saying, you know.
Did you look at any of the coverage after the draft? It's a pretty impressive group of guys that they brought in and is receiving a lot of praise. Have you paid any attention to that?
Not too much, but I've seen all the selections, and I like who we got coming in.
Was there one that surprised you?
Surprised me? No.
Good. All right. Thanks, all right. Jason.
Thank you.
We tried to get y'all to the cannon here.
James Sample from the University of Louisville. He will join us here at the table coming up. Be interesting to see him maybe work at some free safety for the first time in a long time.
Well, and you know, you're talking about a program that's put out more draft choices the last 2 years than Notre Dame, Tennessee. I mean, the program has really risen, and with Bobby Petrino back there, obviously, you know, he's been a guy who's brought a lot of top level talent in over the years. I mean, you're talking about a guy who knows how to compete, and that's, you know, I mean, it's not Alabama, but you're talking about competing at a level against some NFL players.
Let's get serious. What is Alabama? Yeah. Okay, Brian, let me...
Have you heard of Kansas?
Basketball, sure.
We're going to grab James right now as he navigates the lights and the cords.
Welcome. Thanks for coming on with us, man. Good to see you. And welcome. This has been a long road for you, from Washington to community college to Louisville, but first day in here today. What was your first thought when you kind of walked in here as an NFL player?
It feels good. You know, it's still...
You should put that up just a little bit so we can hear. There you go.
It feels good. It's still kind of unreal, you know, just knowing that you made it to the NFL and that your childhood dream. It just feels good.
What do you know about playing safety in the NFL? Calvin Pryor is a Louisville guy. Did you get the chance to talk to him at all over this last year? I know he preceded you. But any conversations at all with him during his year with the Jets?
No, I didn't get really no chance to talk to him over the season. He came to one of the games. I shook his hand and had a few words with him. But a couple guys that played in the NFL, C.J. Wallace, he's from Sacramento. Like, he kind of coached me up on the game of how to be a pro and stuff, and how to the right approaches to take to coming in as a rookie.
At what point did you realize that, you know what, I could get drafted? Was there any doubt at some point in your career? Because, I mean, you had to leave Washington, you went to the community college. When did it really start to seep in? Hey, this is a real thing. I can go to the NFL.
When I left Washington, just watching all my former teammates play and succeed at a high level and stuff, and just motivated me to get back into it, like workouts. I up my workouts and stuff. Then when I got to Louisville, coming in, Coach Petrino said the strong safety spot is wide open. You come in to compete, and we want you to be that guy. So when I got there, I did everything in my power to be that guy. And then I end up being the starting safety in the beginning of the year. And then, like, midway through the season, that's when he got the little buzz that I could be a NFL prospect, top 100. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the year, that's when I knew that I could compete in the NFL.
So you go to Louisville and they tell you that the strong safety spot's open, so mm-hmm. you play strong safety. You come to Jacksonville, they tell you, hey, we want you to compete at free safety, so you're going to go compete at free safety.
Yeah.
Same transition?
I think so. Just got to, like I did at Louisville, just got to get in the playbook and watch film on your own, and then just get in the coach's ear, things that I could improve on and stuff. And I know one of my things I've got to improve on is getting deep in the middle of the field of the post. So I look at it as a good challenge for me.
You know, it goes from being college, which is fun,
mm-hmm.
amateur, to pros. It's about the money. It's about being a pro and feeding your family.
Mm-hmm.
Have you switched that now? Are you have that mindset as you come in here and get ready to be a professional football player?
Not yet. I still think it's fun, man, because I love playing football. Like, when I wasn't playing football that year that I had to take off football, it hurt it, and it I realized that I really wanted to play this game, you know.
Well, you're about to learn how much fun it is to cash those big checks.
Yeah.
That makes it fun, too.
Yeah, I bet.
Don't ask us. I mean, we wouldn't know. James Sample is with us now. I guess you're excited to actually just get on the field tomorrow and run around a little bit for the first time in a while.
That's the biggest thing, man. We've been doing all combine work, pro day work. Now you get to go out there and compete now.
When was the last time you actually worked out football type and not getting ready for the combine or anything like that? An actual run-around practice? Had to be during the season, right?
During the season, yeah, pretty much. It's been a while, but I'm ready.
Cool. Hey, we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Really good to see you.
Thank you.
Good James Sample joining us.
Thanks for your time.
Jaguars safety from the University of Louisville here on Jaguars.com.
Making his way in.
Yes, Yeldon just passed behind us. We'll go into the room here in just a moment and hear from the newest Jaguars running back.
And watch, you know, Alabama.
Oh, watch right here on Jaguars.com with everybody else. Let's go into the other room right now. T.J. Yeldon about to speak to the media.
Start off, John Osher, Jaguars.com.
So what's the day been like? Any moment today at all where you sort of had a chance to look around and say, wait a minute, I'm in the NFL and this is getting started now?
Yeah, when I was doing all the paperwork, it was like being a freshman all over again at college. But, yeah, it's been going good so far.
Who's kind of reached out to you since you've been selected to give you advice, whether it's a person from Alabama or maybe not one of your teammates here with the Jaguars?
Well, Carson reached out to me on Twitter. I changed my number, so a lot of guys don't have my number. But Carson was just told me just if you need anything, just hit him up and let me know. I actually just saw him, and we exchanged numbers. So that's about it.
How gratified was it being the third back pick? Because after you, there's another 30 picks before a guy won. Was that your expectations coming in to go late first, high second?
I actually had no idea where I was going to go. You know, I was very excited when I got picked, but I had no idea, you know. Just people sending me stuff about the mock draft, about me being, like, not a top five back, and I wasn't really worried about it. But I know what I could do, so, you know, I was excited to be here.
How much attention did you pay to the guys that came in that were picked after you? Because you knew that Dante had been selected, but then, you know, they got four or five other really strong guys that it looks like on paper. What was kind of your reaction to the other guys in the draft class?
I wouldn't never really not focus on them. You know, I was only just focused on myself because I know what I can do. You know, I can't control anything else. So I just really just focus on what I can do. I won't worry about anything else.
Do you know any of the other guys, like from the just in recruiting or anything like that, or camps in high school?
From that's here.
Yeah, here or in the draft class, like AJ or Rashad Green, any of those guys?
No, I really don't know any of them.
How much did playing for Lane, a former NFL coach, in his offense, how much do you think that'll help your transition to the NFL?
I think it'll help it out a lot. You know, I had Doug Nussmeier my first year, and he was the one back, and Lane came in and brought his West Coast style in, and you know, I felt like I adapted good to that, and I learned the playbook fast, so I figured that would help me a lot.
Have Lane and Coach Saban given you any advice heading into the NFL?
I just told me to just continue doing me. You know, when I got drafted, Coach Saban gave me a call and congratulated me. But, you know, he just told me just keep working hard, do what I always do.
Jack, you talked about they really like your patience and, you know, figure out where you're going and seem to be thinking a cut ahead or a step ahead.
Mm.
I mean, just, what does that mean to you? I mean, can you know what they're talking about in terms of thinking ahead, or is that just something that you just have?
I guess it's just something that just, you know, just happened. You know, I don't really think about it. It just comes to me natural.
Is there a player that you compare yourself to at this level?
Le'Veon Bell, I like how he runs. You know, we kind of run the same, so kind of watch him a lot in the NFL.
How are you preparing to go into a competition to be a starter at the NFL level?
I'm just going to come in and compete. You know, I've been competing ever since college and high school, you know, so I just like come in and compete, you know, and just do what I always do.
You visited here?
Yeah, I visited here.
Did you get to feel that this would be a really good fit for you? Did you, over any other franchise that you visited or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I had all my visits were good. You know, I felt the same. You know, all of them felt like they went really good, and I just had a good time here.
How much do you enjoy being a receiver, working in the screen game and stuff like that?
I enjoy it a lot. You know, I wish we could have used it a little bit more this year so I can catch the ball, but I enjoy catching the ball.
Is being an every down back something you take pride in? I mean, you got to work on the other things other than running to do that. Is that something you've focused on?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what we did at Alabama, you know, being every down back. You know, if you can't block, you weren't going to play, or catch the ball, you weren't going to play. So, you know, it's just what we did at Bama.
I assume in high school you didn't block at
all. Shit, not really. We just ran the ball and threw it.
So not how really. Hard was that to pick that up?
It was kind of hard. But, you know, I had Eddie was there, and also Johnson Fowler helped me out a lot. And, you know, I just picked it up really fast.
You think that's one of the things that maybe separated you and the Jaguars' minds from some of the other backs in the draft? Did they say that to you or anything?
I mean, I haven't said so, but, I mean, I believe so.
Derrick Henry is a kid that's from this area, so there's a lot of interest in him here locally. What, how good of a year do you think he can have as he continues to progress for Alabama?
He'll have a great year. You know, he's a guy that works hard, you know, always tries to do his best, you know, always improving and stuff. He actually texted me and was like, hit him up when I get here, him and Chris Black, also from Jacksonville, so I hit him up later on.
Thank you, TJ. Thanks, TJ. Appreciate it.
There's T.J. Yeldon in the media room here on Jaguars.com. And, you know, you think back to, I mean, three seasons of double-digit touchdowns at Tuscaloosa. Yeah. Kind of tells you his production.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was always one of my favorite college. And I don't watch a ton of college football during the season. But one of my favorite guys to watch because when you think you have him stopped, he manages to get away for two or three. And when he picks up four on third down and five, you don't stop him. He ends up with seven. He runs like Edger and James. In fact, I asked Dave Caldwell that last Friday night after he made the pick. I said, does this guy remind you of Edger and James? Remember, Dave was in Indy when they had him. He said, yes, he's one of those elusive runners. Now, the knock on him is that he's a straight up and down runner, meaning he's got that long torso. But according to Gus and Dave, he has the ability to get skinny, right? In other words, not give you the whole torso to hit, because if I hit it over and over and over and over and over, you're going to have a shorter career. It's just James Stewart's the great example of that in Jacksonville. Was a straight up and down runner, had about a 5-6 year career and was done. So you're looking for a guy because you want him to be able to give you the best.
Right.
Can he get skinny? Can he give the defender a smaller surface to hit? Both Gus and Dave say he can. If that's the case, boy, 36, it looks like you've got a real value.
I've got much more torso area, but in different ways.
Lagerman was telling you that earlier.
I know. What the heck?
He took such offense. I didn't mean
it. I thought you were trying. You were pointing at me.
Well, I was just saying, you know, I was hitting this one spot over and over and over and over.
It will be. It's funny just looking at some of the highlights of his career in Tuscaloosa, and it started with the best freshman rushing season in that school's history.
Yeah.
Got to think about that. Guys that have come through. Now, freshmen didn't play there for a long time. But Sean Alexander played as a freshman and played pretty well
pretty
as a
good.
Freshman there.
Well, and you know, look, he played with Eddie Lacy, who is getting it done for the Green Bay Packers. And he's playing with Derrick Henry, who we all assume is a first-round draft choice if he decides to come out next year. And yet T.J. Yeldon got double-digit touchdowns. So playing with NFL backs and future NFL backs, he was able to be incredibly productive, which is, you know, one of the things that Dave and Gus had to look at and say, look at what this guy does. He's got great feet. He's got excellent vision. And again, despite the tall torso, he's got the ability to get skinny. It sure seems like at 36 they've got something they can work with and create a lot of competition.
Oh, no doubt about
behind
that.
What they believe is an improved offensive line.
It all kind of works in sync together. Is it an offensive line with a different type of mentality and scheme this year? It's a lot of new faces there. That's really going to set the tone up front. That's where it begins.
Well, I go back to what Eddie Lacy did, you know, 1,000 yards behind a good offensive line in Green Bay, playing with a top-flight quarterback. And, of course, that changes
that
everything.
That helps, right?
Yeah, that changes everything. But if Blake Bortles comes out with new weapons and a new offensive line and is able to loosen up the defense, then, you know, you could see it impactful season from this guy.
This has been a running back franchise, I mean, from the beginning, you know. Fred came in after Stewart, and then...
Well, remember, Stewart was a first-round pick. People forget him.
That's right.
They forget the 5 touchdowns against the Eagles in 97. He was their first 100-yard rusher in St. Louis in 1996. He was still the man, because Fred didn't take the job from him in 1998. And then in 99, when Fred missed 6 games, he was a 1,000-yard rusher. Right?
Wow.
So he was, you know, he was a big time player. Then you give it to Fred, and we know Fred is special. Fred is Hall of Fame caliber guy. Whether he gets in or not, that's for criteria to determine, but he's the caliber player. And Bo, 81 touchdowns. Yeah. So here you bring in T.J. Yeldon, who looks to be a blend of a couple of different guys.
But the point is, it's been a couple of years since they've had a true number one guy around here.
Right.
Mojo was the last one, I guess.
Absolutely. And they knew that they needed that kind of a guy. You know, you've got Toby Gerhart, and you've got Denard, who each have a role. You know, I think Toby, we saw on first down what he was able to do against Tennessee, really spark in the second quarter here, and then in the screen game. And Denard's a complete change of pace back. Now, he's going to like this. If he's watching this right now, Denard, you know, he's getting chapped on this deal because he knows, and he said, I can be the number one guy. Well, see, that's what you want, right? You want him coming in with the new running backs coach. You want him fired up. He's a great kid, great young man. And now you bring T.J. Yeldon in with Denard and with Toby and Bernard Pierce, who I don't know at all. Couldn't pick him out of the lineup if he came out down the hall here with 4 or 5 people. And so, but you've got that kind of mentality in the room. That's what they want. They want him to be fired up.
And if Denard happens to be the odd man out in that situation and is returning kicks mainly as his gig, that's a pretty good deal. That means somebody has beaten him out for a role at running back.
Well, it means what you've got is you've got an opportunity to really have a productive position group. And we've said it 3 or 4 times already, the offensive line should be better. They should be more productive. They should get more push, whether it's scheme, whether it's players, whether it's coaching, whatever it is. The expectation is they'll take a major step forward, and that makes every running back in that room a better running back.
Just notable that you saw Yeldon walk behind us after his press conference. There are physicals and other meetings going on right now.
He thought you were going to ask for an autograph. Let's be honest.
Well, too late.
The Alabama,
I guess. I mean, come on. So he's not able to join us here on the set, and we are expecting a couple other guys to come down and speak to the media before we're done today. We mentioned offensive line.
Yeah.
A.J. Cann walked by here earlier.
Big guy,
and a guy that, you know what, if things work out and the competition goes his way, he could start in the league.
Well, they weren't scared to put Brandon Linder in there on opening day. Now, the need was much greater for this football team last year. Both Gus and Dave alluded to that over the course of this week. Rookies may have a chance to actually be rookies. They needed Brandon Linder last year to step in, and he did. And he was their most consistent offensive lineman. And Jeff Lagerman pointed out on tape more than once how effective he was in the Texans game here when J.J. Watt stepped in and was a 3 or 5 technique. So, you know, now you've got Cann, and we checked it out, by the way. It is Cann. And so now you've got Cann, and you can let him be a rookie or you can let his natural power, right? That's what he does. He is a guy who road grades in front of him. If he's got a weakness, You know, he's not the longest in terms of his length with his arms, and so pass protection, he's going to have to be scrappy to get underneath those guys. You know, Beatles played with Peyton Manning. Pass protection's what he does. Love the competition. Love it.
It should be. I mean, they just paid Zane Beatles, so that, you know, if for some reason this doesn't motivate you, I don't know what else is going to. He didn't play as well as everyone would have hoped, and that's been out there last year.
Well, you know,
towards the end, he got a little, you know, got a little more consistent as it went on.
He's a cool cat now. He's a he's a guy who he's not. This is not going to get under his skin. He, now, as a 6-year guy, and you understand NFL not for long. They're always trying to replace you. He's a pro. He knows exactly what this is. But he's the kind of guy who is now going to. And if he was here right now, I'd say, hey, look, I've been working all offseason to get better. I've been working with the guys out here. We've been working on cohesion. We've gotten to know Coach Marone a little bit. We're, you know, he ain't going to say, oh, yeah, now I'm fired up. He's going to tell you that he's been working in that direction. But quietly, you know, you make the note, AJ Cann, South Carolina, right? And you just put it in your wallet and you carry it with you everywhere you go because that's my competition. But he's a total pro, and you know he welcomes him into the room because it makes him better.
And remember his environment last year, too, coming from Denver where he's for 4 years – on that offensive line, and then you got second-year Luke Jokel on your left, and you got a rookie and a rotating center on your right. Just a totally different world last year for Zane Beatles,
too. It was. Absolutely, it was. And so now what you've got is you've got Jokel, who's gotten bigger and stronger. Have you seen him?
Yes, a little bit.
Yeah, big, strong guy now. And then you've got Wisniewski, who comes in here, Stefan Wisniewski, to compete at the center spot with Bowanko. But here's a guy who started for 4 years for the Oakland Raiders and was pretty good player. And then behind that, you've got Linder, and then you go out and you sign Parnell. Well, you bring Cannon to the mix. You got a lot of different guys. And Bowanko's a guy who's a tough, smart, tough guy. You're going to work with him, too.
Receivers, young group on this team. A lot of second-year guys from that big-time draft and free agency last year, rookie free agency a year ago. They added one, Rashad Green, who's going to go in the room right now. We'll hear from the Florida State wide receiver, and
I sat with him in April.
Yes.
And it was very clear why Jimbo Fisher made him a permanent captain and called him one of his most favorite players.
The all-time leading receiver at Florida State University, Rashad Green, speaking with the media right now on Jaguars.com.
Hey, Rashad. What's up, Rashad? Hey, how's it going? Good, thanks.
Hey, you want to start us off? Hey, Scarlett,
I'm Rashad, did you get any texts from teammates now, like Blake or anybody, after you were drafted?
Yes, I got a text from Blake and also Telvin Smith, who you know, my former teammate.
Was it just congratulations or was there anything?
With Blake, it was congratulations, and you know he's pretty much ready to work with me just as much as I am ready to work with him. And for Telvin, it was congratulations. You know, that's like a brother, and he understands me as a person and you know what I'm here to do. So.
Is it good to have a guy like Telvin to kind of here to help you with the transition and stuff? And it's somebody you obviously know pretty well, I'm assuming.
Most definitely. It's always good to have a familiar face in a new place. So just to show me the ropes of different things and, you know, just have that person there for me whenever, like, you know, such as a brother. And that's the bond we built over at Florida State.
What did he tell you about what to expect?
He didn't tell me anything about expecting anything because he know how I am as a person. You know, I just go out there and just work hard and, you know, let my results do the talking.
Took a visit here before the draft.
Yes.
How much do you think that will help the transition?
I think it helped it a lot. You know, I definitely got a good feel for the organization, the people a part of it, some of the coaches, and I definitely liked it.
What do you try and get out of this 2 days of minicamp?
I'll just to go out and work and just be competitive and just show my presence.
What do you take the most pride in terms of your game?
My game, I take most my pride in the hard work I put in, you know, the dedication more than anything. You know, that's before you can put it all to play. You have to work hard. You have to, you know, put in the time. You know, secondly, my route running ability, you know, my ability to make plays.
Playing in that pro style offense was a huge benefit in terms of teams getting a good idea of what you can do.
Yes, it was a great thing that I was a part of a pro style offense. You know, being able to understand concepts and being able to read, you know, coverages and things like that. You know, being that Jimbo taught us very well, so you know, I think it'll definitely help me.
Do
you're coming off of one of the more prolific careers for FSU, you know, offensive players. Did you feel a little slighted that you slipped to the fifth round?
No, not at all. You know, that's something that's completely out of my control. I only can do what, you know, I can control, and that's putting out hard work and, you know, just showing my play on the field, you know. And it was just about, you know, getting the opportunity, and here at the Jazz, this is really what I asked for, you know, and God answered it for me.
Is it good that it's a relatively young group of receivers, two, three guys that were rookies last year, and you and Sterling, I guess, in the later round? It's a pretty young group.
Yes, that's a good thing, you know. I'm quite sure all of us are, you know, still hungry, and we can grow as a group, you know, try to be one of the best. That's always the goal, you know, from my perspective, and I'm sure it is from theirs. Just growing together and learning together, you know, it's always a good thing.
What did anybody tell you about working with Jerry
Sullivan? You know, I definitely got a feel for him myself. You know, he was one of the first guys that approached me at the combine, which is says a lot. And just talking with him, I understand what type of coach he is. He's definitely the guy that's hands-on, which I prefer. You know, it doesn't seem like he'd get too rowdy, but, you know, he helps you understand it and shows you. And that's pretty much what I had in college as well with Coach Dawsey.
You guys at Florida State set a record for the amount of players drafted over a three-year period. Can you talk about what does that mean to you to be part of that?
It means a lot just to be a part of that. It just shows what we're building, you know, at Florida State, you know, around this time. And, you know, it says a lot about the coaching staff and the school itself. You know, they are recruiting, you know, great kids and football players as well. And it's paying off for everyone that comes in and, you know, paved the way and show how to put in hard work. And, you know, you get a result such as this.
Thank you, Rashad. Thanks, Rashad.
No problem.
We'll finish up with AJ.
AJ here. Hey, AJ. How you doing? Hey, AJ. Start us off, Ryan.
Sure. What do you
want to get out of this weekend? You know, I just want to learn as much as I can. You know, come in, meet. This is obviously a new place for me. Learn people, learn new faces, coaches, players, stuff like that.
You glad that the process is over and you don't have to worry about flying all over and doing drills and stuff like that? And now this weekend you can kind of get back to being a player.
Oh yeah, you know, I'm excited to be here and excited just to focus on football.
You started 51 games, right?
Yes, sir.
In college, so you just missed one, right?
Yes, sir.
What happened? Were you ill or injured for that game?
Some things went wrong in the previous game, and coach decided to, you know, sit a few guys out, and I was one of those guys. But it's all good.
Play the game?
Yeah, I played. Like it was like 3 minutes after. So yeah.
So basically, is there a part of you that makes wants to go? And would have been a perfect run, the whole type of thing. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, there was a part of me was like, you know, why'd that have to happen? But then again, you know, I was happy with the career that I had at South Carolina.
What did you focus on going into your senior year improvement wise?
You know, I just wanted to, not just anything in particular. I just wanted to be better as a player overall, whether that was speed, strength, getting bigger, being a smarter player, stuff like that.
Leading up to the draft, what did you do to kind of improve your game?
You know, I did a lot of more position work because and hand technique and working on my stance because a lot of coaches told me that I seemed like I gave away the plays most of the time because I switched my stances up. So I try to stay more in the even stance and keep my left hand down most of the time if I was on left, or keep my right hand down if I was on the right. Yeah.
Are you more comfortable at one of those spots?
Nah, I can play either one.
Anybody reach out to you from the team after you were picked? Any of the players?
Nah, just I got a text from Blake Bortles telling me that he's excited and ready to get to work.
What did you hear in the Spurrier? What did you take out of that? Impact on what you
Coach Spurrier is a very, very competitive coach. You know, And he teaches that in his players, you know, just compete. If anything, he wants you to compete all out every single play, every day in practice. And so that's what he wants to install in his players, and I think that's one thing that he got put in me is just being able to compete.
You guys won 11 games in a row in 3 years, or 11 games 3 years in a row. Something never been done there before. So, I mean, what kind of accomplishment is that to be considered part of one of the best runs in school history?
You know, it was big, you know, and I was thankful for that. You know, when Coach Sperry came in, we started getting those players in state that was really good. Nobody was really leaving the state. So players started coming in, like Marcus Lattimore, Alshon Jeffrey, Stephon Gilmore, guys like that wanted to win, and we had success from it.
Did you ever do any one-on-ones with Clown?
Yeah, we had a couple one-on-ones in practice.
How was that?
I would say it was kind of even. You know, he had some of them plays where he would just do something freak, and I was like, oh, dang, he got me. But if I got my hands on him, I had him. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
AJ Cann, the new Jaguars guard from the University of South Carolina.
Powerful grip.
Yeah, no doubt. He stopped by the set on the way in. And it'll be interesting. We talked about this earlier. The competition on the interior of this offensive line will be heated this offseason.
Yeah, lots of competition across the board. There's AJ right there, smiling all the way. Man gets it. Enjoy the moment. And he is.
Yeah.
But that's it. The competition that they have created over the last 3 years of putting these building blocks in place now comes to a head right now. Right now you've got guys, we're talking about how does it shake out, you know, what if he wins the starting job? You just don't know how things work. They've got options, and that's exactly what you want, is the ability to be flexible with your roster.
The locker room will be open to media tomorrow before and after practice. So the guys you didn't hear from today, you'll likely see on Jaguars.com at some point tomorrow. But yes, there's practice tomorrow. Rookie minicamp.
Such
on
that
the
it
field.
Is. Yeah, look
They're
at
running
you.
Around at least.
Come on now, you're acting like a rookie in underwear. They're in shorts and t-shirts. Here's the great part about it, is that you get a chance to see these guys. The fans are going to love the fact that Dante Fowler is there, gold shoes or not, smiling. You and I and John get the chance to talk about real football instead of hypothetical football again. Right. But what we're really looking forward to, OTA is starting later this month.
Yeah, it's a couple weeks away. Come on, one day at a time, Brian.
All right, I'm channeling my inner Vic. I'm being a curmudgeon, okay?
You are, indeed. Well done today, Brian.
Enjoyed
Good
it.
Good job. Our thanks to John Osier as well, all the rookies who joined us. For everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. We'll see you tomorrow at Rookie Minicamp. That's it for right now on Jaguars.com Live Rookie Premiere.